the theme, because our lives don't belong to us. It belongs to God. I want you to join us this day as we look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, where we will find our scripture text. And prayerfully, over the next several Sundays, we'll be sharing with you from this passage of scripture. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. You're there, say amen. If you're not, say hold up. I heard a combination of two, so. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray after this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share a thought with you today, something to pray about. Something to pray about. One of the most confusing things at times can be our prayers. I say that because many of us, we begin our prayers with us. And if your prayer begins with you, then the expectation is based on what you want and not necessarily what God wants. Anybody in the building? It is possible for us to pray what we call self-directed prayers. Now, I'm going to show you in just a few minutes why that is not only dangerous, but it is short-sighted. Because God knows more about what you need than you do. Several references in this prayer, what we call the model prayer, several references remind us that it is God in control and not you. He says, say, hallowed be thy name. He says also, yours is the kingdom. He also says, your kingdom come. So it's not about what we want, even though we may have a want or a need. This prayer does not deny your need, but it prevents you from lifting up your need above what God wants. Let me say that again. It prevents you, when you really are praying, from lifting up your need and what you want from over, so that you won't get what you want over what God wants. Yeah, I kind of got messed up on one of those turns there. But you get the point. So here is something to pray about. Here is why prayer is so critical to the life of a believer. If you don't pray, you will never know God. Apart from prayer, you can read the Bible. I read the Bible. If you don't pray while you're reading the Bible, you won't understand a word that is in there. But when you pray, then you know that God is your all in all. You know that He is your shepherd and your guide. You know everything that you need to know because God is right there with you in prayer. So Jesus, responding to the request of the disciples, they had said, Lord, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus instructing them, telling them, if you're going to pray, here's how you pray. You don't have to use the exact words, but you do have to use the exact outline. You do have to use the framework that Jesus is saying, because if you want your prayer to be answered, the old folks say you better pray right. Don't expect God to answer a prayer that does not follow this model that he's given. So what I'm going to do today is actually start with that first verse and set it in your mind so that when you leave here today, I want you to understand what it means to hallow God's name. What it means to sanctify God's name. See, it's possible for you to pray and you can be talking to the devil. If you just start your prayer, I need this, the devil say, okay, let me see how I can hook you up. But this prayer, Jesus said, the first words that come out of your mouth should be, our Father who art in heaven. There ain't but one, and that's God Almighty. Call on him when you need him, and he'll answer your prayer. So, let's just kind of ask this question and throw it out there. Why should we pray if God already knows what we need? That's a good question. Why should we pray if he already knows what we need? If he's Almighty God, then he's all-knowing, right? Omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, so he knows where you and I are at all times. And he's omnipotent. Well, if you're from Scottsburg, you say omnipotent. God has all power. He has all understanding. He already knows what you're going to pray about even before you pray. So why would we want to pray if he already knows what we're going to pray? Let me give you a couple of reasons. Some people would certainly argue that, but I believe that Jesus addresses this in the verse. He wants us to worship. Worship is critical. Worship when you pray. Honor him when you pray. God invites us to pray because we deal with this thing called sin. Everybody say sin. Yeah, I know you're living a good life, but you're still dealing with sin. Yes. If it ain't, if you're not acting a certain way, then you're certainly thinking it. And you got to shake your head sometime. And the only one that can keep you free from sin is Jesus Christ. The only one. People say, I'm older. I'm better now. I know better. You're still going to be sinning. Folks that's too old to do sin, they still thinking about it. And that's sin. Amen. I can't go to the party, but you're thinking about the party in your mind. All right now. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Notice that verse says, if my people, God's people, you who believe, you're God's people. God knew that you would have to deal with the issue of sin, and the same way you take a bath every day, or I hope you take a bath. They got the spray on stuff now, spray and ghosts. Okay, all right, if you want to do that, you got to pray. You got to pray about your sin. You got to pray that Jesus will give you power, that he will grant you grace to walk with him free from sin. Not just some days, but every day. Not only does God admonish the believer, the people of God, to pray, he also says to those who are lost, to those that don't know God, he says, come to me and I will wash away your sin. Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's his invitation. So we want to recognize God in prayer. We're not just talking to anybody, not talking to Bob on the street. We're not talking to Don downtown. We're talking about God Almighty. Jesus said, say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To pray then is to recognize that God has the sole authority over your life. To pray is also to honor God, to honor him. Wouldn't it be something if you go and you say you're going to a company and you're asking a question, that people are going to ask you, who would you like to meet? Who would you like to speak with? How many of y'all are senior citizens like me, and you call a place, want to complain to the company, and you get on the phone and you say, if you know your part is extension, please dial it now. I don't know the part is extension. That's why I'm calling. And later on, after you've listened to the whole message, it'll tell you to go by and spell by name directory, press here, and you don't even know anybody's name. You do not pray into the atmosphere. You certainly don't pray to Satan. And you cannot pray to yourself, otherwise you will have no answer at all. There's only one you can call on, and that's Almighty God. So we call on him to honor him. And if you'll notice the framework of this prayer, it starts with God, and then it goes into our confession, not of ourselves, but of God. It says, yours is the kingdom. That house you got, God gave it to you. That car you drove up into church, God gave it to you. Matter of fact, the clothes you got on your back, God gave it to you. Amen. Your body and soul belongs to God. Here's the part I like. He loved giving it to you. He wanted you to have it. He wanted to bless you. He wanted you to know that that's how much he loves you. The prayer goes into that. It recognizes God's authority. Then it also recognizes what we call our need. Our need for God. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, daily bread, not talking about a Merita or certainly ain't talking about Dunkin' Donuts or something like that. But anything that you might need in this day, God is willing to provide that for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? God wants to give you the things of his kingdom. That's why he talks about the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom because you're a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, somebody. What a mighty God we serve. So here we go. We want to also recognize that the prayer ends with God. I read something this morning after I finished up my notes. It said that we don't pray to use God. We pray so that God would use us. Right, write that down. I thought it was pretty good. You don't pray. Okay, God, let me move your hand. Let me get you over here. And let me get you to sign right here. You don't pray that way. You pray, God, I want you to be blessed. And that's how Jesus said you start the prayer. You start the prayer hallowing God's name. I'm going to give you several reasons for that. This is not a long sermon, but I believe it's a good one. Man, I shouted. I had to get up from my computer. My keys on the keyboard was jumping. That's how happy everybody was. Because when I knew the worth of prayer, when I knew what prayer could do, when I knew that God honors your prayer, he wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your life. Even though he already knows it, he wants you to see it. A child can stand before a parent, and the parent knows what they need. But that parent also wants them to come and just give them a big hug and let them know everything's going to be all right. When you pray, God hugs you. God says everything will be all right. Just trust me. Hold on for a little while and everything is going to be all right. I want to give a shout out to the people in Florida. I know you're going through right now. But thank God you're going to go through. God's going to bless you and he's going to keep you. Amen? Ian didn't win because God is still on the throne. Amen, somebody. So what happens when we hallow God's name? What does that mean? We talked about our need for prayer. Understand that there is that great, significant need that we have to pray. And I listened to one person. I was reading some things on prayer. John Wesley, the clergyman that founded the Methodist Church, John and Charles Wesley founded the Methodist Church. Here's what John said. God does nothing apart from prayer and everything through prayer. God does nothing apart from prayer and everything. Everything that God wants to do, he's going to do it through prayer. He wants to include you. So not only do you tell him what you want, he tells you what he wants and the part he's going to play. How many of y'all have ever faced what I call the wall of impossibility? You run into it. Oh, man, I didn't know the wall was there. Yeah, it's there. But then God speaks to you and he either shows you how you can get over the wall, you can get around the wall, or you can get through the wall. How many of y'all ever had that to happen? You look back and you said to yourself, ain't no way I'm going to make it. But when you call on the name of Jesus, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When you called on his name, I heard the old folks at Spanish Grove Missionary Baptist Church say he can make a way out of no way. Won't he do it, church? But you got to call him. St. Augustine, in the early third and late 3rd and early 4th century, he was a renowned theologian. St. Augustine says, whether we believe it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with our thirst. Prayer is the encounter of our thirst with God's thirst. Now, God's thirst is that we might thirst for him. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said. He said, as the deer panted after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee. How many of you have gotten so desperate in your life you couldn't wait to talk to God? You thought you had to come to church. Or you thought you had to get into some type of attitude or some type of position, but you can call him in the morning. You can call him in the evening. You can call him in the midnight. Anytime you want to call on God, call on him. And he'll hear your prayer. Yes, he wants to hear from you. He wants to bless you. And he wants to give you the things that you need. Now, the authority on prayer was Jesus. The authority on prayer was Jesus. Now, if Jesus said, I'm going to pray, which he did, what makes you think you can make it without prayer? Oh, I know. You know every time you pray, God's going to get in your business. Every time you pray, you're going to get under conviction. Huh? Is that it? Well, guess what? He's already in your business. Your next heartbeat is God's business. Your next breath is God's business. The very fact that you were clothed in your right mind, that's God's business. He's already in your business. Amen, somebody. There's no way that you can make it. One songwriter said, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus said this in Luke 18 and verse 1. He said, men should always pray. In other words, the believer should always pray. Amen. And don't faint. And why did Jesus say that? Sometimes you look at your problem and you say to yourself, this is big. But when you look at God, and then look at your problem, you say to yourself, oh, he can do it. Some of y'all miss it. So let's look at this thing on prayer. Let's look at this thing on hallowing God's name. I just want to stop with that. I'm going to give you four things that basically why you ought to hallow God's name. Do you not realize that all over this world, there are people cursing God? Even blaming God for stuff they did is God's fault. God could have stopped the storm. Yeah, he could have. But he didn't, because he got something else in mind. Right. God could have prevented this. Yeah, he could have. But if you don't pursue the better plan, you know better than the heathen. If you're going to get over here and you're going to say to yourself, I don't know whether serving God is going to work or not, try it. And watch and see what God will do. The very fact that we have a crisis, it says to us, you need to pray. The very fact that you're going through the struggle, it dictates to us the necessity of praying. Jesus, the Son of God, watch this now. When he walked this planet, do you think, all right, all of a sudden the flowers going to start blooming, people, everybody going to love him? No, people tried to kill him as a little baby. Isn't that something? And here we are thinking, well, the world's going to be nice to us. Are you in the right world? Are you on planet Earth? If you're on planet Earth, you know that you're going to have some difficulties and you're going to have some struggles. And so, therefore, there is the necessity that we call on God. So if the heathen says, I'm going to curse God, somebody ought to bless the Lord. Somebody in here ought to know that he brought you through your struggle. Somebody out of here, in here ought to know he woke you up this morning. Somebody right in this church right now can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I never would have made it. Never could have made it without the Lord. Can you lift your hand and say hallelujah? So we've got a reason that we hallow God's name. We've got a reason, Miss Calva, that we call upon him, because we want to bless the Lord. That word hallow, it means to sanctify, to bless, to praise, to honor, and recognize him. When I walked into my father's house, when he was living in my mother's house, when they were living, I didn't just come in and plop right there. That was their house. I recognized them as my parents, and they loved me and cared for me. So I want to recognize them. When you step into the Father's presence, you want to say, God, I thank you that you're my heavenly Father. You honor him. Also, if you start the relationship with God and the praise is your priority, that means you have confidence that God has heard your prayer. You have confidence that he heard. He may not give you exactly what you asked for, but your goal is not to get exactly what you want, but to get what he wants you to have. And now, why do I say that? Sometimes the devil can get in between you and your stuff. Paul says, we would have come, but Satan hindered us. Oh, but prayer moved him out of the way. Prayer can move the mountain, Jesus said. And all you got to do is talk to God and tell him, Lord, I'm here to do your will. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to honor you. But I need your help. I need your strength. When you give him praise, when you honor him, and when you say that he is Lord, then God can indeed bless you. But here's another thing. Here's another thing that happens in prayer. When you hallow God's name, you are preparing to pray. You're preparing to pray. Now, what do I mean by preparing to pray? If you went in and all you got is your need, then you don't know whether God can answer your need or not. Right? You're just coming in and you're saying, well, you know, here's what I need. Let me lay that out before the Lord. And then you leave his presence and you haven't addressed him. Hallowing God's name means that you're prepared to pray. Now, watch this. You already know that God is great. Y'all know that, right? But when you tell yourself that God is great, when you start saying, Lord, you're my shepherd. Lord, you're my light. And David called him in the Psalms. He said, Lord, you're my battle axe. All of a sudden, God, who is exalted, is now exalted in you. Let me just ask this crazy question. We used to talk about it in the old church. How many of y'all ever got happy thinking about God? I'm talking about this get up and dance type of happy. I'm talking about clap your hands type of happy. I'm talking about knowing that he's a way maker. I'm talking about the God who you serve is now able. Anybody ever just got up? all of a sudden, your gloom and doom atmosphere is lifted. Because the greatness of God has come into the room. And I'm here to tell you, where there's light, darkness has got to run. So when you hallow God's name, it's like going into a room and flipping the light switch on. Now you can see. Wish I could preach the way I feel. So when you hallow his name, you're saying, Lord, that's why God loved David. He was always telling God how good he was. Lord, you're my song at midnight. What kind of talk is that? And the Lord said, you know what? That boy loves me. Let me go on and bless him. I'm going to send him through some struggles, but I'm going with him through the struggle because I'm going to be on his side. That's the confidence that you get. But if you're unprepared to pray, if your problem has you so worked up to where now you're praying to God, but you're looking at your problem, God will never be glorified in that. He'll never be glorified. And truth be known, many of us have gotten up off our knees just as confused, just as scared, or just as scared as they say in my part of the country. Because we did not have the confidence in prayer. When Jesus tells you hallow his name, he simply means to exalt him to the point that nothing else matters on earth except God Almighty in you. Praying so much, praying so fervently, that problem that I had could not seem to solve. I prayed and I prayed, but I kept getting deeper involved. But then I turned it over to Jesus. Oh, God. When you turn it over to Jesus, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right. Magnify him. Magnify him. Praise and worship is not an expression that we have in the church. Praise and worship is exalting God to where you know that even if the worst thing does happen, you still got Jesus. Still got him. Look at somebody and tell him, I still got him. All right, one more thing. No, I got two more things to tell you. Then I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to close this argument. If the prayer starts with praise, it will end with power. You come in weak. You come in broken. You come in hurting. But when you leave the presence of God, when you leave that throne room of God, you're saying to yourself, everything's going to be all right. People say, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Everything's going to be all right. Because I started the prayer with praise. I didn't start the prayer with a complaint. I didn't start the prayer talking about how bad things are. I started the prayer by saying, Lord, hallowed be your name. If everything on earth is going bad, I know one place is going all right in your kingdom. Hallowed be your name. Be exalted. You lift him up, he'll lift you up. Last thing, I can't wait to get with this. I can't wait to deal with this. When you actually hallow God and you magnify his name, you're actually gaining access to his signature. We just kind of throw out there in Jesus' name. That's a signature. That's a signature. But the only way you can get his signature card is that you've got to give him true praise and true worship from your heart. Don't think you're going to sneak in there. I'm going to get him to sign for this. No, it doesn't work that way. When he sees the genuineness of your heart, that you're exalting him, God will say, here's my kingdom. Anything you want, anything you need. Matter of fact, let me tell you, I know you ain't going to believe my word for it, so that's why I'm going to take you to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, it tells us these things I have written to you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Y'all get that? Because when you talk about God, you're talking about his Son. And God says, I've exalted his name above every name. Are y'all still here? So he said, now these things I've written to you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Do I need strength? That's anything. Do I need a financial breakthrough? That's anything. But money is never more important than your spiritual being. Keep that in mind. Amen. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else be added. And I looked at the added stuff. There's a whole list of stuff. Are y'all still in the building? So John says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. You can walk out of that throne room. You can say, Lord, I'm going to hold my head up high. I'm going to believe and trust in you. I may not get it today. I may not get it tomorrow or even next week. But I know that you're good on your word because I got your signature right here. Your word says that you will be my God. Your word says you will be my shepherd. Your word says you will be my light in dark places. Your word says you are my salvation and you are my God. And Lord, I thirst after you. I hunger after you. I want you to not only bless me, but keep me. Keep me in the storm. Keep me when the battle is raging. Keep me in the storms of life and the trials of life. Keep me because I know that you're a mighty good keeper. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So if you want your prayer to work, start the prayer right. If you want your prayer to get an answer, don't be just waltzing in. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to tell him what I want. You can do that, but call him up and tell him what he wants. And then he will show you what's best for your life. How many of y'all actually got on your knees with a question and got up with the answer? Amen. Try not to shout too much. Amen. You didn't know what was next. You didn't know what was coming next, but you knew that God had the answer. Went in prayer, but said, Lord, I know you're a good God. I know that you hear and answer prayer. I know that you can provide when none else can do. When nothing else could help. Amen. Love and that prayer lifted me. Go on to my seat. Go on to my seat. But I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us to know him. And throughout the Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, Jesus wanted to break through that barrier not only of the requirements of the law, because he was going to satisfy all the requirements, but he wanted to break through that barrier of prayer. In the Old Testament, you would have to go to a priest or maybe a prophet and ask them to pray for you. You'd have to bring an animal sacrifice. You would have to bring the animal in, and I can only imagine I'm on the farm, and you know, if you're taking an animal and they don't want to go, never mind, that's another story of another time. Y'all city folk, y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, you don't have to use all those protocols. You don't have to use all of those things. Just use my name. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring my need before you. Father, in Jesus' name, I got loved ones that are unsaved. I know it's your desire to save them because you would not that any should be lost, but that all might be saved. So, Father, I'm calling on you because you're the blessed God. You're the Holy One. You're the one that's sanctified. And when you call on God, something begins to happen on the inside of you. God will make a way out of no way. Clap your hands if you believe it today. Look at somebody and say, I got something to pray about. Look at somebody else, tell them, I got something to pray about. I got something to pray about. I got something to pray about. I'm going to call him in the morning. I'm going to call him at midnight. I got something to pray about. If I happen to wake up at night, I'm going to pray one more time. I'm going to pray to God because I know he is. And beside him, there is none other. As a matter of fact, if I wake up and praise him all night, that'll be all right also. You got to give him thanks. You got to magnify him. If the children of God don't bless him, who will? Don't depend on an angel to praise God when you got to bless him. Give him glory. Give him praise. Magnify him. Because he's certainly worthy. I said he's certainly worthy. You could have died on that sick bed. Amen, somebody. The devil wanted to claim you last night. But God said, no, no. I got you here and I have you here for a reason. Come on, bless him, church. Hallelujah. Going to sleep. I'm going to sit down. But every time you clap your hands, you're hallowing God. Every time you say, praise the Lord, you're hallowing God. Every time you said, Lord, you're great, you're hallowing God. Reverend Ray said, every time you say, you're my shepherd, you're hallowing God. And he wants you to praise him because he wants to bless you. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Lord, I'm just so thankful of the things that we can learn in prayer and how you bless us. There might be somebody out there right now, someone watching us on YouTube or someone watching on Facebook, or later they're hearing the message on WLLL. However they get the message, Lord, let them know that you're worthy of all praise. Let them know that your name is to be hallowed because you truly are great. Father, help them to understand that there's only one Lord and Savior, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So bless them now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to give the invitation to everyone.